American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! It's Sean Kennedy and E! Reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, March 23rd, 2009. And you are listening to Newsreel, the Wall Global Sit-Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for Free Speech Day, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal! Yes! And you can go to my live journal by going to a computer! And then you will open up a browser of some choice, but don't make it a political statement, just open a browser. And then go to Sean_Kennedy, SEAN_Kennedy.livejournal.com. Because I have far too many URLs that are secret. Nobody else can know them, so I disguise them all through my live journal. That's how lead hacksaws I truly am. And never forget, this is a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, where, in fact, the rock is pure. Non-Surveyum Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio.net, Radio Red Mercury, and as well, every Thursday, without fail or government intervention, we broadcast at Second Light Node Archers, 1-557-4666. Yes. It's true. And of course, back once again, my lovely and talented co-host, Sumerian.
Right here, sitting right beside you.
Perfect. Good deal. How is your day? How are things, Sim, for you?
My living room is filled with boxes of assorted DVDs surrounding me.
Well, I see no difference there. Is there anything special or specific about this?
Yes, the patrolling DVDs have come in, and they're in my possession now.
Oh, so when you say those are my DVDs, you can really say, no, these really are my DVDs. Well, that's very
hot.
Right. So you've got the first run of the patrolling DVDs. Nice.
That's right.
Are they looking sexy? Are they everything you've hoped for?
Yes, indeed. They look very nice. Very professional-looking covers. Fit right in at a retail store, and professionally pressed DVDs, not burned, so very nice. They're ready to be sent out and probably send out next week.
They're respectable.
Very exciting.
They're respectable.
Yes.
They're the kind of DVDs when our fans can stand up and say, "What are you watching? I want to watch this." And then your other friends who are like, kind of like, "Don't be downloading your crazy shit off the internet." They'll look at the case and, you know, then you'll graduate to the next level of crazy, right? Where now you're in the Alex Jones territory where it's like, you know, they've got some money now, you know, and they're producing it, and it looks pretty good. You know what I mean? So
that's right.
So, and we're like at the very end of the fringe now. We're like getting near like the main, you know, we can see, you know, Hollywood on a clear day from where we are right now. You betcha. You betcha. And our trained tactical monkey who's doing the editing, namely Sumerian, or a family of small children that he enslaved. You've done an awesome job. You've done an awesome job. I've been seeing some of the stuff that's coming through, man. And even though I hate looking at myself, but wait, we're not at the C-section yet. We're not in the C-section yet. But that is, of course,
nope, that's true.
This is the part of the show where I ask what's going on, and this is a major event. You know, to get this.
It is.
It's been a long time coming. It has been.
Yeah.
So you're riding the high.
Oh, yeah. I popped them in the DVD player, looking really nice on the dual layer.
Oh, yeah.
So it's real, really nice, yeah.
I just meant, are you yourself, are you riding the high? You know, that feeling you get from the new knife shine. You know, when you go out and you buy the knife and it's new and you're playing with it and you're like, clack, and it flies open in your hand and you start having fantasies about ninjas attacking you and you saving the entire busload of children with, you know, this awesome new knife you bought, you know, the total, that whole thing. I mean, that's...
Chasing the high. I can never achieve it. I'm always looking for the next, going to the next project and, oh, the next one would be even better. So then yeah.
Yeah.
It's always hard to achieve it.
It is. I mean, that's why you're a media junkie. But people appreciate it. People appreciate it. I've got I got some feedback here. I got some specific feedback for you, actually. I think it's not often I get specific feedback for you.
Because,
you know, well, I try not to let you talk. You know, that's, I don't know if you picked up on that, but yeah, yeah. Anyway, Dear Rant, we're not even Sean and Sin anymore. Dear Rant.
Who's that?
I don't know. Rant, this Rant guy. A new KMFD album will be coming out very soon, March 24th. It's called Blitz. And I'm like, really? I didn't know that. Did you know that?
Yep.
You did, of course you did. But, you know, I didn't know that. The album is purely KMFDM, but there is, as Sim mentioned, a co-op project that's been released exclusively on the KMFDM store called Scold versus KMFDM. Dive on, Nuruk. So, yeah, very, very cool. I didn't know that, and that was, like, big news. So you knew that? You didn't tell me? You didn't tell me?
What, that this new KMFDM album?
Yeah.
They come out every year, year or so.
Well, not really, I rely on you for this stuff. Of course, we can't use any of the music, so I know that you're really hesitant to let me hear music that we cannot use.
Let's use that. That's awesome. We got to use that. I'm like,
yeah, I've got this whole episode based on this one song of KMFDM, and you're like, and it's so good. Oh, it's awesome. See, that's the problem with copyright is just that. Like, I never had Johnny Cash's permission to put that song on the end of that After Now episode. I hate to say it, but it's true. You know, and
sure we did, yes, yeah. He said it was okay. His dying breath, he said, do it for the fans.
Well, man, that I'm, not an atheist. You know that, right? So, I had this dream. And Johnny Cash, very strong Christian guy. And in the dream, it was conveyed to me that I don't think it'd be an issue. And if there was an issue, I'd have another dream, and I'd be let know what was going on,
And somebody go ahead and try and prove Sean wrong.
Well, not only that, I can always have another dream anytime I need to, in case divine power say so. And, that was good enough for the Mormons. It's good enough for Moses. It's good enough for me.
Right.
You know, I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. See,
right.
I think you've got the whole angle wrong with religion, man. I think you just, I think it's such a powerful tool you can use on yourself.
It is. You can make anything up and you'll be completely satisfied with it. And, you can go on your merry way and be okay.
It's a brain hack. Brain hack.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, hells yeah. I'm loving it. Totally. Hey, got my own religion. Anyway. but new KMFDM album, new religion. It's a religion. Sure, why not? Sean! Sure. New feedback, sorry. Were you going to say something before I started screaming at you?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I'll continue screaming at you. Sean, I love Newsreel, but I realized something today. Ding! Something snapped inside my head when I was on the bus. There used to be a time, under a different show, even a different show format, when you brought in stories and discussed them with a guest. I recall one SK radio show in which you brought the topic of aliens and proceeded to discuss it with a man who had his own evidence for the discussions. It's a great when you co-host with Sim and have at least one other view aside from your own. Ooh, stab. What's the matter with my view? Huh? It's the only one that matters. The only motherfucker I got. Anyway, to take it one step further and arrange for call-in guests that have the expertise and we can talk about your news topics, that would make me cream my pants. It would obviously take a lot more prep, a lot more strings being pulled, and even more community support, but I think it would be a worthy effort, if only on a seldom occasion. I could even see you getting more terrestrial broadcasts if you could execute the idea, if you could execute on the idea. If NBR does it, why can't you? Anyways, love what you do. Please keep up the hard work. Blood do. So, why don't we do that, Sim? Why don't we, create a show where we have call-in guests? And
that sounds wonderful. Yeah. No, we've done that. We have done that before. You can listen to them in the archives. It is a lot of work.
Yeah. It's a full-time
to arrange
gig.
That. We did a television show that did that. We brought a band. Occupied every waking moment of our life that we didn't even have to begin with. We like this format. It works really well. It seems to be popular. So we might just keep doing what we're doing. You never know what'll happen in the future, though.
No, it's true, but I think that we've spread out our fire now. Because if you put too much effort into one thing, you know, and you put all your eggs in one basket, as it were, then you can wind up really getting dashed on the rocks, well, you know. So it's,
well, that's true as well. I mean, Sean's writing a new Afternow book, and I'm doing stuff too, and we want to spread ourselves out. We don't want to just focus on one show, do just
a, well, there's planning show, and logistics
we have
too.
A lot of interest.
Films, yeah, you know, I mean, we got to keep raising the bar, right? So we're not just running around filming stuff now. We want to actually, you know, put out some decent media for you guys. Because, I mean, you're not going to be happy with the same old. You guys are going to want more, you know, better, smarter, faster, you know, all that jazz.
Yeah, different stuff.
Yeah. Well, so we'll, it'll keep evolving. But, you know, I thought it was nice. Thank you for caring. Thank you for caring.
Yes, thank you.
Dear Sean, I have emailed you a couple of times before, and you probably don't remember me. But, like, hey, Jeremy just drank a 40. Dare me to drive? Sorry, okay. I've emailed you a couple times before. You probably don't remember me. But I thought this was cool, and I had to tell you. I live in blah, 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 Australia, and so far I have not encountered any other WOGs besides me and a couple of my friends. And I've introduced the concept, but today I found proof that I am not alone. This is awesome. Now, this is really cool. Today on a bus trip back from the city, I found an empty bus seat, a cheap, generic brand, 512 megabit USB with the top, with the words Top Secret, Tales from the Afternow, written in black permanent marker. Black, and it, this was placed directly on top of your book, The Bloodstained Rabbit.
What?
Yeah. Now,
really?
I know if this the, was...
A copy of The Bloodstained Rabbit was left on a bus?
Well, I've left them in coffee shops. But the thing is that this this was placed directly on top of your book, The Bloodstained Rabbit. Now, it could have been a printout. I don't know if it's
okay,
a printout
or
not.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
Now, I know this was left by someone with the intention of introducing something new to the concept of being Raw, WOG, and Rant Media. But since I have not read your book and decided to take it, leaving the USB where it was. Okay. I know I probably shouldn't have. But I just couldn't help myself because I'm only 15, without a credit card or parents who agree with purchasing items online. This may be the only chance I have to read your book anytime soon. That's true. You're 15. Who knows how long you'll live? I know this is really important. I know this isn't really important, but I just thought you might like to know that there are people out there distributing your show. And that was...
Actually,
go ahead.
That's very cool. I actually have something very relevant to this story.
Oh, okay.
Kid Lingoy just finished editing The Bloodstained Rabbit just a day ago.
Oh, yes.
So yeah, it will be released in PDF very shortly and text and whatever.
So,
very,
and this is the authoritative, this is the...
This is the final, final authoritative copy
this is
of
the
edit. Bloodstained Rabbit.
Yeah, where it's, it's interesting because there's some, like, there's very little actual changes, I want to say. I don't want you guys to think that it's going to be like a totally new story with like new chapters. No, it's been basically
super
polished, cleaned up, presented in the way that you should have read it the first time. And
exactly.
And we, you know, I humbly present this to you, you know, and we can move on from there.
Because we wanted to clean it up and have a final copy for the fans that didn't get a chance to purchase one of the limited edition copies that we had.
Right. So it's a, you know what, it was a fun project. It's a great project.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of glad that, you know, as for Kung Fu Lemon in Australia, who sent me that, I'm here to tell you, that book is yours. If you actually found The Bloodstained Rabbit, like a copy on a bus with a 512 and you found it there on a bus, that is a sign from server that is yours forever, okay?
Yeah.
For sure.
The chances of you finding that on a bus is so next to zero.
Yeah, like...
It's unbelievable.
You know, and plus, you know, he's like... Imagine it from his perspective, because he's in this little town in Australia where he doesn't know anybody, and he, like, goes into this bathroom, and there's stuff there that he didn't put there. So, like, we know about it too, you know? V for victory on the back of the door, you know, kind of a thing.
And it's not next to zero because we're not very well known. It's next to zero because there's only 250 copies of that book in existence in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
So if it's a real book, it has a number on it, and it has Sean's signature, so...
Yeah.
Check it out.
Because I signed all those goddamn books. All right, so anyway.
I made
and we got another good piece of feedback here. Feel the love. Are you ready for this? I'm pumping you up, man.
It has my name in this one.
It does. Greetings, Sean, and of course, my hero, Sumerian. Firstly, I was listening to the previous episode of Newsreel 393. You remember 393, Sim. And heard
Sean, that was a good one.
That 393, one. Yeah, much better than 327. Heard Sean talking about people wanting him to pick a side. It seems only natural that Sean wanted to do this because of the WOG movement. It is about finding what is best in that time. And if something better comes along, we adopt to it instead. I've never understood why some people seem to think you have to stick with one thing and never change your mind. Changing your mind does not mean you waffle. It means you have amassed new data, discovered something superior than the previous data, and improved. As far as for people like me who are absolutely positive and not willing to accept new ideas... people who are absolutely positive and not willing to accept new ideas scare the shit out of me. Secondly...
As to me, that makes a lot of sense, and that's a perfect...
it's brilliant. Yeah, it's a beautiful... It gets better, you know. Secondly, this is for Sumerian, so I hope I'm cleared to read this.
Okay.
Sim,
yep.
Quote, Sim, never believe no one respects all you do for Rant Media. You're the brains behind the magic that is the Rant community. I do not believe... that I have the words to thank you for the untold hours you have put into making Rant Media what it is. The editing, producing, and of course the camera work to make Sean all the more debonair. I truly hope that these words may give a slight smile upon your face. For words on Newsreel have definitely done that for me. Keep screaming the truth, your fan, Draven. You know, I can get used to these.
That's really nice. Yeah.
It is nice.
Yeah, so could I.
You know, I can get used to those. A little bit of love there, you know.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Debonair. Wow.
I've never
heard you been described with that word before.
Well, I thought it was deboner for a long time. And then I'm like, hey, check it out. I'm all suave and deboner. And they're like, it's debonair. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, no. I mean, that's sweet,
that's,
you know.
That is nice. Getting those once in a while really makes it all worthwhile.
Well, I'm just happy every time I come in
to
do a show that, you know, we're not hacked out of existence and kicked off the internet.
You're banned from the internet.
Get off my internet. You suck. You know. Oh, well. So, hey, you said that we've got... So, when you said the DVDs have arrived, did you say that... like both seasons have arrived, like season one and season two.
Both seasons. Yeah, hundreds of them litter my living room.
How many
DVDs
have you got, like, in your house right now?
Hundreds.
Like
hundreds.
Hundreds of them, and you're
hundreds of them,
and you're packaging them by hand.
What? Well, yeah, I I am actually. So they can get my fingerprints off every copy of Patrolling if they wanted to. They might be smudgy, so you might not get a good print, but
that's
you could try.
Awesome! So you are actually manually... So every single... No, this is big stuff, man. This is big stuff.
Yeah,
every single one
day,
that people buy was put together by the loving hands of you and perhaps, you know... your wife, who might be helping you slightly if she takes pity on you on some level. Which I wouldn't.
Right.
I'd be like, fuck you! I'd totally be like, whatever.
Exactly.
Well.
And up to this point, actually, every DVD that I sent out before this, my handwriting was on the DVD.
Oh,
like,
snap!
I labeled every single DVD with, like, Patrolling or Rant Media Audio Archives or whatever, right? What the hell?
Look at you, you
so this
badass.
Is this is the next step in the evolution. It's actually professionally printed.
You bad
self-screened, etc.
Damn, yeah. That is some work, son. Good for you, man.
But,
well.
So it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice.
I mean, it's kind of like when I was signing my books. It wasn't actually work. When we were printing the books out and I was signing all my books, you know, and stuff. Because, you know, when you're writing and stuff and you hope that you want to have, you know, you fantasize about being a famous writer and how cool it would be to do a book tour and all that kind of stuff. You know, so there's that little bit of magic in there and you're all like, I'm going to be huge, you know.
Yeah.
And then,
so this does have a little bit of magic because these are like professionally printed DVDs.
Well, it's media. It books are media. This is media. This is it. This is the same thing.
Yeah,
it's exactly the same thing, only just a different media source. It's a big deal.
Exactly.
And
I'll be happier when the people have it in their hands when they're actually sent out and they receive it in the mail. Because I always love getting stuff in the mail and getting these. It's almost like a present. Even if you've paid for it, it's like a present when you get it in the mail.
Are you anxious? Are you anxious that maybe they won't like it? You know?
No, it's luckily this isn't like new stuff. This is stuff people have seen on the internet. So I know they'll like it. They'll like it even more because there's bonus material, right?
Well, and plus it's pretty
high res. Hours and hours of bonus material.
If I'm not a vid freak like you. You're a vid freak. Yeah. What is the res of this like that we?
Well, it's a standard DVD resolution, but this is also a next step because these are dual-layer DVDs. The ones I did before were burnt at my house. These are professionally pressed two layers, so it's an 8.5 gigabyte normal, you know, DVD. The ones that you buy in the stores with movies on them, so it's very exciting.
Yeah, that's it's nice to actually get Patrolling Season 1 and Patrolling Season 2 and not have them on, you know, 50 DVDs. You know, that's kind of nice, too, because, I mean, how many hours?
Oh, is that...
What did it work out to total? I mean, it's like 36 hours of new stuff and like...
Well, yeah, if you include the commentary and all
the commentary is a riot.
Stuff,
they were just sitting around shooting the shit.
Oh,
right? it's just like
a show, except it's more focused on patrolling. We're just talking about patrolling.
We talk about some pretty interesting stuff, actually. I got a lot more edgy.
We
got a lot more edgy on the commentary than we did.
Because we know the fans are... Those are the people that are going to buy it are the dedicated fans. The people that are going to listen to the commentary even more dedicated. So we just let loose, really, right?
Nice. Well, that's cool. And now, as other than you know, I can't really flog people with our DVDs anymore. But we are going to go see not our own movie tomorrow because we're not quite that head swollen. We're going to actually Friday. For everyone who doesn't know, Friday is me and Sam. We get together once a week, and we see a movie. And sometimes there's girls there. And you know, and that's a big deal. So this last week was my pick, and what did we watch? We watched Zulu, right? Michael Caine.
We watched
Zulu.
It was interesting.
And that was good. It was different from what I remember, though, which was weird. I had this weird like Dark City moment where I'm like, that's not how this movie goes. But the movie was made in 1965, and I was just like, oh man, it was bizarre. It was bizarre. Anyways, so that was last week. And what's this week?
Well, this week we're going to go to the theater and watch a movie. It's a Canadian film.
Right.
And it's called RIP, Remix Manifesto. Mm-hmm. And it's all about copyright and how it has affected our lives. And more specifically, about how copyrighted material is being used to make new media. And, you know, like the mashups or, you know.
Sure, like that Doctor Who clips. Or Time Lords TARDIS, all that stuff.
Yeah. Exactly, and this is more putting in the hands of you know, just everyday people, not people under labels, and they have to pay for clearing samples, but, you know, simple use, everyday use of music and putting it together in new and in more inventive ways, and the legalities of that. And,
I think that's what I'm going to do. That's going to be the final song, man. I'm going to put Doctor Who on Holiday.
There you go.
No, that'll be the outro song, so remind me if I forget before the end of the show, because I'm liable to do that. Did you do you want me to read this here or for the movie, or is that just for my own?
Oh, I'll do that.
Sure.
With the advent of digital technology, copyright has become the defining cultural issue of our time. The film follows Girl Talk, a biomedicinal engineer turned sample-based pop star who exploded into infamy and hipster adoration in 2008 by creating irresistible mashup anthems combining hundreds of top 40 favorites. And it just goes on and on. This film cinematically presents how the 20th century's cultural icons, from Walt Disney to the Rolling Stones, built empires off their creations of others, while at the same time sending lawyers after anyone who dared to remix their property. By incorporating contributions from thousands of web users, RIP is a part of a movement to rebuild the public domain and rethink intellectual property. And this is something that's really near and dear to my heart because of all of our stuff is under Creative Commons, which allows people to copy it and remix it and put it out there for other people to enjoy.
Right.
And not we don't just greedily hold it in our hands and you can't touch it, you can't do anything with it. It's ours and this is the magical creation nobody else can touch. So this is very, very interesting to me and really affects us as Rant Media and all the fans, too.
Well, I've never understood that. You know, I've never understood why it is that people do that. I mean, if you've got art, right, and you're really, and it's really good, it should stand on its own. You know, I mean, yeah. Are you a one-trick pony? Is that all you got? You know, the one album?
No, I must live off of it forever.
You know, I mean...
And I mean, copyright as it stands, even after the person dies, it doesn't go into expiration. It goes on for another 70 years after somebody dies. I mean, really, do your grandkids still need to be making money off of something you did? Didn't you make enough money in the 10, 14, 20 years that you put it out there?
Right, and that's all part of the scheme. Right, this is the scheme. Mm-hmm. So they do
it
this.
This is
them, man. The Illuminati, man. Them guys out there. So tomorrow we're going to watch this. And is there this of course is not a, this is a dramatization, right? Like, this isn't like a documentary. This is going to be like, there's going to be car chases and explosions and stuff, right?
Well, if they, there might be if they...
Okay, as long as there's some explosions, that's cool. That's all I care about. Let's get... No, I'm looking for... I know you wouldn't lie to me. You know, it'll be cool.
I hope there's some car chases.
Sure, yeah. All right.
For Sean's sake, so he doesn't fall asleep.
Here's one for you. You're going to love this one. In Dead God News. You love this.
God's dead.
Yeah, in Dead God News. We are on the verge, they say, within 10 years of a major collapse of evangelical Christianity. This breakdown will follow the deterioration of the mainline Protestant world, and it will fundamentally alter the religious and cultural Western environment. Within two generations, evangelism will be a house deserted of half of its occupants. Between 25 and 35% of Americans today are evangelicals. In the Protestant 20th century, evangelicals flourished, but they will soon be living a very secular and religiously antagonistic 21st century. This collapse will herald the arrival of an anti-Christian chapter of the post-Christian West. Intolerance of Christianity will rise to levels many of us have not believed possible in our lifetimes. This is from the Christian Science Monitor. And the public policy will become hostile towards evangelical Christianity, seeing it as the opponent of the common good. Gather your weapons. Millions of evangelicals will quit. Thousands of ministries will end. Christian media will be reduced, if not eliminated. Many Christian schools will go into rapid decline. I'm convinced the grace and mission of God will reach to the ends of the earth, but the end of evangelism as we know it is close. Why is this going to happen? Number one, evangelicals have identified their movement with the culture war and with political conservatism. This will prove to be a very costly mistake. Evangelicals will increasingly be seen as a threat to cultural progress. Public leaders will consider us bad for America and bad for education, bad for children, bad for society. Just generally bad. The evangelical investment in moral, social, and political issues has depleted our resources and exposed our weakness. Being against gay marriage and being rhetorically pro-life will not make up for the fact that massive majorities of evangelicals can't articulate the gospel with any coherence. We fell for the trap of believing in a cause more than a faith. We evangelicals have failed to pass on to our young people an orthodox form of faith that can take root and survive in a secular onslaught. We don't teach our children well enough. There are three kinds of evangelical churches today: consumer-driven mega churches, dying churches, and new churches whose future is fragile. Denominations will shrink, even vanish, while fewer and fewer evangelical churches will survive and thrive. Number four, despite some of the very successful developments in the last 25 years, Christian education has not produced a product that can withstand the rising tide of secularism. Evangelism has its educational system primarily to staff its own needs and talk to itself. So, yeah, the science is kicking our ass. Confrontation between cultural secularism and the faith, the core of the evangelicals, is to do good, is rapidly approaching. We'll soon see that the good evangelicals will want to do will be viewed as bad by so many. Okay, whatever, blah, 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 blah. So basically, and this final point is that the money's going to dry up. There's going to be no money in being an evangelical Christian anymore. Which I find to be kind of funny. You know.
The money's gone.
Well, see, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with Christianity at all. I don't. The same way I don't have a problem with Islam. And I don't really have a problem with Jews. And I don't really have a problem with the guys in the forest who believe in the giant frog. Or the flying spaghetti monster. Well, pardon me?
I do.
I know you do. Yes. That's why.
Because it's all lies.
Yeah,
it's fairy tales.
I know.
It's wasting your time.
We love you. It's okay, Sim. It's okay. But seriously, I'm just saying now, you know, I have a problem with churches. You see, now the churches are bad, okay, because they're exploiting people. All right, people want to believe whatever they want to believe. You know, I like the Weekly World News, you know, because I pick it up and I read about how, you know, Saddam Hussein has got velociraptors on the border and they're attacking Marines. And for a moment there, I really want
entertainment.
Well, you know, I want to look at I kind of look at some religion like that. You know, you want to look at the girl behind the counter and say, gosh, I hope the velociraptors don't get in here. And she'll say, yeah, but we got shotguns and stuff. And I'll be like, oh, okay, cool. We should have a velociraptor drill. You know,
well, it certainly is interesting to look at the world with through magical eyes and pretend it's all like a mystical place. But you know, you have to come back to the truth once in a while.
And, the truth. And, Listen to you. Are you a hard
line?
Well,
you're the one
bastard.
After the truth.
I'm not the one, dude. I'm not after anything. You crazy. You crazy. Take the vest off, Sim. Take the vest off. Okay. Just saying. Rabbit. Arr, arr. You are feeling good. Look at you. You're looking for a fight.
But there is definitely a decline in religion. I think that it is helped by the focus on it, in fact, in movies and television. A lot of people are just seeing it for what it is. It's just ridiculousness, especially being exposed to more of a world view on religion and seeing the religions around the world rather than being isolated to their own.
Okay, well, I got a question for you. Now, is Dawkins and all these guys, are they primarily going after Christianity?
No, they're going after all religions, whether it be Thor or Zeus or Jesus or Muhammad.
Are they going after the Jews?
They're going after everyone. They're not isolating one or the other.
Okay, so they're shooting at the Jews, they're shooting at the Islamist guys,
Why should they be special? Why should anybody be special?
No. I'm just making sure that it's equally what I want to avoid
here. Craziness.
Yeah, no. What I want to avoid here is I just want to avoid everybody, you know, attacking the Christians. You know, as long as it's not like religion's bad. You look at these Christian assholes, blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, if you spread your shit out to attack everyone, what I don't want it to be is to be like some big gang up on a bunch of Christian dudes under the guise of atheism. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, no. It's all crazy. All of them. Scientology, any kind of...
Well, no. Scientology's not there.
It's
not
lies.
A religion. It's not a religion. There's a difference. Not a religion. Religions in my... No. Hear me out. Religions in... This is Sean's definition of a religion, okay? Religions are designed to make your life better. Okay? That's their design. That's the purpose of them. That's the overriding... kind of idea behind
that. Scientology fits that one so far. Keep going.
No, it does not. Scientology
design it. They say it's going to make your life better through non-use of pharmaceuticals.
Well, what they say
and
is
being
cleared
of thetans.
What they say is don't give
it any merit just because it's a new religion. Because another one has been around for 2,000 years doesn't give it any more merit than a 50-year-old one.
Okay. Easy. The reason why I say that is because you can look at the basic tenets of a lot of religions, which are pretty similar, actually. You know, the Islam, the Jews, and the Christians, all of them. Pretty similar stuff. Be nice, you know. And all
the same God. They're very similar, actually.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, even ones with different gods, the religions, you know, they all kind of have the same sort of ideas, right? And it's all there, but in on the basic level. But Scientology is unlike those, because on the very basic core level, it makes you self-destruct. Like, there's no part of it, right down to its very core, because it's designed to make you... broken, more psychologically broken, so you become... So you'll never find old, happy Scientologists. There are none. You'll find lots of old, happy Jews, old, happy Christians. You're going to find old, happy Islamist guys. You're going to find old, happy religions everywhere. But show me an old, happy Scientologist.
Hasn't been around long enough, really, yet. I mean, Tom Cruise has been in the game for a while there. He's been a Scientologist for a while.
No, I don't know, man. I've never seen an old, happy Scientologist. He's lots of old angry Scientologists. I can show you... How about this? I can show you for every... that's my argument. Okay, you think they're all shit and they're all cults. And I'll say, no. Scientology is shit and a cult. And, you know, it's... But the other ones are religions.
How long has L. Ron Hubbard...
I just don't want to put them. I just don't want to put it in the same category as religion. That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
It's a different kind of shit.
It just hasn't been around long enough. That's all.
There's bear shit and there's dog shit. Okay.
Well, Scientologists just sounds so so absurd, but just because it hasn't been entrenched in our society long enough. I mean, if you take Christianity or Judaism or any other faith that's been around for a long time and take it out of context and explain it to somebody who's never heard it before, it sounds insane.
Well, yeah, but it's a nice story, you know. I like
I
wouldn't
say that. It's a pretty violent story.
I like violent stories. You know, there's some nice violent stories. Jaws won some awards.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying.
Well, it's an interesting story.
I like Christmas. I'm not giving up Christmas. You atheists can suck it, man. I'm getting all the free food I can get. You know, I'm just saying.
You can celebrate the winter solstice. No problem with me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And
we'll give presents to each other.
Sure. Sure.
Celebrate the dark days and kind of brighten things up with some presents and trees with lights on them.
Sometimes I really do want to give you a hug. And I don't mean anything like, you know, gay by that at all. I just mean, honestly, you know, man, I just want to give you a hug sometimes. You know, you are so...
I'm a very happy person. Do not associate atheism with somebody being unhappy. I mean, all the religious people are the ones that are unhappy on Earth, and they're looking for something better in heaven.
Ah! And I hate them. I hate them so much. Okay. Well, you know, I'm just saying, extremism in any form is bad. You know,
even
the extremism of non-extremism kind of freaks me out a little bit. You know, so I just, you know. I enjoy, you know, crazy stuff, you know, provided nobody's getting hurt. You see, you can have
it's funny.
Yeah, there's lots of old crazy nuns, but I'm going to stand by that, man. Show me an old happy Scientologist, you know.
Well, we'll have to wait till it progresses a little bit, give it another 50 years.
It's been around for a while. I mean, if you got to think that if it's been around and it's good stuff, you know, it should at least have a couple of old happy Scientologists. I'm just saying, it's got to be one, you know, clearly.
They need to find a good hat. They need to find a good hat, and that'll make them a religion, right?
Yeah.
Every sect has a good hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
so
covering, you know.
You know, if they could get a groovy hat and, you know, not make their people suicidal, that'd be cool, you know. but on that thought, moving right along to the next story here, in combat drug news. Now, this is some interesting stuff here. March 12th, from London, Dutch researchers has successfully reduced the fear response in human volunteers by administering them a beta blocker propanol. Propanol. By giving them propane. They're giving them propane.
Lol.
They got some cocaine. All right, so they from now on, the term propanol will be props. Okay, so the study carried out by Merrill Kint, Merrill Sauer, and Bran Verbliet at the University of Van Amsterdam. They're all high because the grass is legal there and they got all kinds of grass problems. Showed that the weakened fear memories did not return over the course of time. Now, I remember they were doing some stuff with like mice where they were like fucking them up and then they were feeding them this drug and they couldn't remember that they were fucked up and stuff. But anyway, this is a follow up on that story. While it's been thought to date that it was impossible to delete the fear memory, Klein's work has shown that changes can indeed be affected in the emotional memory of human beings. The researchers point out that there is a temporary labile phase before fear memories are stored in the long-term memory, during which protein synthesis takes place and records the memory. Because this is actually like writing the memory to your long-term storage. It's kind of neat. Because
yeah.
I guess it goes
it
in
is,
your, yeah.
yeah,
it goes in your head. It's in your RAM, right? And then you got to, like, you know, block it out.
Hard drive. There yeah. as well. It goes in your RAM and you want to store it long term and it's going in your hard drive.
And it's a process and it's got to write, you know, there's a bus speed and everything. Anyway, so they say the traditional idea was that the memory is to establish after this phase can no longer be altered in reports Nature magazine. However, they added the labile phase once again occurs when the memories are retrieved from the memory and that they manage successfully to intervene in that phase. So when they harden it and then when you access it again, it kind of garbles it all up. And then you can put it back forwards again. You know what I mean? It's messing around with the brain a little bit.
Ooh.
You know, that kind of stuff freaks me out, man. What do you? I mean, it's got to be done. I mean, technology's going forward. you know.
It's going to be done, let's say. I don't know if it's got to be done, but it's going to be done because we're always trying to investigate it. But fear is something that is sometimes necessary. I guess there's some types of fear that you would really want to actually get rid of because it's an irrational fear. But there's some stuff that I would still want to be afraid of because it helps me in every day today not to run into traffic because I'm afraid of getting run over.
Well, I don't believe in fear. I think fear is an outdated term. I mean, there's an acronym I learned one time called false evidence appearing real. And that's what fear is. And people, you know, when you're in high threat situations, your hands shake, you know, and people think, oh, I'm a coward. My legs are shaking and I crap my pants and all this kind of stuff. And what it is actually your body's getting ready for the fight of its life. And these are like very primal lizard mind responses because your brain's going, hey, I may need to, you know, fight with a saber-toothed tiger here because that's the last time that I got this freaked out. And your body just starts prepping itself for, like, psycho-intense combat.
Exactly, and it gets all the endorphins and everything. It gets your body physically ready as well as mentally.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think fear is there for a reason. I don't think we should mess around with that too much. For that matter, anytime people start talking about messing with your memories with drugs, you know, I get kind of Dark City about that whole thing. It's just like, no, that's my hard drive. You leave my hard drive alone, you know, because that's, if there is a soul, it's probably in my brain somewhere, you know?
But I mean, if somebody's afraid of like a balloon filled with helium and it puts them into fits for a
That
may be something that I can look, see that
sure.
This would be helpful for somebody who has anxiety disorders that really debilitates them from leading a normal life, especially if they're completely irrational things.
Oh, yeah. No, you freak out. You freak out, right? So, yeah.
Normal things like going on stage or, you know, going into stressful situations, they exist. I mean, there's a purpose for you being afraid, just like you said.
Well, the thing is, though, it's like, I wonder, like, before I did the live After Now, I mean, I was brutal for, like, 2 days prior. I was sweating. Oh, God, it was horrible, right?
But that's my point.
But if I was able to take some propanopanol or whatever the hell that stuff's called, you know, would that be, would I have, you know, suffered for my art? You know,
maybe it wouldn't have been as good because
I don't think
you would have
been
relaxed. You wouldn't be focused. Well, you wouldn't have been focused.
I would not be properly motivated.
Sean, you need to be properly motivated.
Well, that's the way it was, man. It was like, you know, you're sitting there and you're sweating and you're like, oh my God, and you're going to do this. And, you know, anybody's ever had to do that sort of stuff. I think it's important. I think it's so, and more than that, I think that the risk versus the gain, but like you said, you know, it's going to happen. It's gonna happen, right?
So, no matter what.
So you better get
used
to the idea.
Progress.
Chucklehead. And now this is a new spin. Now this, every now and again, because I've been doing this for 10 years, we pick up on stuff that they try to push agendas. Now, a while back, I don't know if you remember this, Sim, but they were pushing this agenda about there's two different races of people. Like, the humanity's gonna divide into two types of people. There's gonna be the smart people and the laborers. You see, and this was like, no, this was in multiple reports. Like, they put this out in multiple journals. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was out there. Transhumanists were talking a little bit about it, and it was trying to find
just
some
like
purchase.
Just like an H.T. Wells time machine or something?
Yeah, that parallel was made, the Morlock and Eloy theory. Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely it. And people were talking about this, and then it kind of went away. But now there's this new one. This is a trend that I've noticed, and now that I alert you to it, I believe you will see it as well, which is there is an overwhelming trend. Overwhelming. I mean, it's never really been featured, but I think it's actually on the rise. Like, I think there's going to start to be aggression against this, which is hate the old. We're being taught. No, I'm serious. They're really going to start moving to get rid of the old. And the reason for this is because a young workforce, if you have a use and lose workforce that you bring them in, you burn them out within 3 years and put new people in, you will run at greater production value, right? I mean, your people die. And the bean counters run the world, you see. So this is why I think it's going to happen. So I'm seeing a lot of these stories. So this story is hate the old news. Mental powers start to dwindle at 27 after peaking at 22, making the start of old age at 22, says U.S. researchers. Dude, when you're 22, you don't know shit about shit. You know, you really don't. And you're gonna tell me that's your peak?
The ability to learn. The ability to learn at that stage might be at its peak, but wisdom definitely doesn't peak at that point.
Yeah, but dude, I mean, there's people out there who change careers when they're like 40. Okay, there's like people out there who you could go back to school tomorrow. You could go back to school.
Oh,
tomorrow.
Yeah,
we're in our 30s.
And I could learn some. And I could learn things.
If you were properly motivated, you could go back to school.
Evolutionary, tomorrow. This makes sense evolutionarily. Because of we didn't really live that long, not too long ago, maybe 30 years, 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want to be in our peak at our peak,
yeah,
mentally and physically.
Sure.
And, you know, now we've prolonged life, it's not surprising. If you look at a 60-year-old, they're not going to be quite as sharp as a 20-year-old. They may be wiser, but the ability to learn and think quickly, just not going to be there.
Well, I think that that's
on average.
You
can't just trot out individual things, but on average, let's say.
No, on average, I think a lot of it, like so many other things, I think a lot of it is choices. You know, if you make a conscious decision to learn three or four languages, right? All kinds of research, all kinds of research talking about how you're taking ginkgo and you're like looking after yourself and you're looking into supplements, you're listening to your body. You're getting to understand, you know, this piece of issue
kit reading books,
that you've been given called the body.
You keep active, keep your mind active, keep reading books, keep going, and not just give up on life. And then, you'll keep going.
Yeah, so it's, and I think they're saying now that, I think the last report, last show, I think was, what was it, 80, Sim? We got to make it to 80, and then we don't have to die?
Yeah.
Have you started thinking 80. At all about the kind of body you want to have? You know, seriously.
Well, I'm not into that as much as you are. I like my body right now.
No, but I'm just thinking, you know, because it's gonna you're gonna get old, right? So.
Oh yeah, of course, yep.
So
yep,
I mean,
things are gonna fail.
Of course, we got enough media of me that we could probably make a 3D rendering android that looked exactly like me when I really hated the way I looked, which is pretty funny. We're gonna have to shoot some new stuff. But yeah, you know, like we could, which wouldn't that be ironic? You have to live forever in the body of a fat man. Yeah, you know, not so good.
Well, but, you would know that you didn't live forever.
Well, I wouldn't do it. I'd be a happy fat guy who's immortal. I'd be like, woohoo, bring me another Krispy Kreme, motherfucker. I can't die. Woo! I'd be like Pearl
I'm sure
from
we can
Blade.
Make some
help me. It'd be terrible.
Help me.
Yeah, I totally. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure we can make some tweaks after the fact in the software that we could turn me up a bit. I wouldn't worry too much about that.
Sure. Yeah, you know, so we could, it's got to have that thing, you know, whatever. And I want one of the alligator heads from Metal Gear Solid. I want one of those. Those are cool. So my stealth level is like super high. I really want that. Okay.
Nice.
But I'm just saying that there's a big hatred right now against the old, and you're going to see it more and more and more. So just watch for it. Just watch for it.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
Hatred, really? Hatred?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Check the tone out in here. It's really subtle, dude, the spin they got on this.
Yeah.
To test mental agility. His 7-year study of 2,000 healthy people aged 18 to 60 is published in the Journal of Neurobiology of Aging. To test mental agility, his study participants had to solve puzzles, recall words and story details, and spot patterns in letters and symbols. The same tests and already used by doctors to spot the signs of dementia. In 9 out of 12 results, tests, the average age in which top performance was achieved at 22. The first age, which they remarked any decline, was 27 on tests of brain speed, reasoning, and visual puzzle-solving ability. Things like memory stayed intact until the age of 37 on average, while abilities based on accumulated knowledge, such as performance on tests or vocabulary or general information, increased until the age of 60. Professor Salthaus of his findings suggests that some aspects of age-related cognitive decline begin in a healthy, educated adults when they're in their 20s and 30s. Rebecca Wood of the Alzheimer's Research Trust agreed, saying, "This research suggests the idea... suggests the natural decline of some of our mental abilities as we age starts much earlier than some of us might have expected, in our 20s or 30s. No, that's just because that's when you start drinking. Understanding more about how healthy brains decline could help us understand what goes wrong in serious diseases like Alzheimer's." That's a bit of a stretch. Alzheimer's is not a natural part of getting old. It is a physical disease that kills brain cells, affects tens of thousands of under 65s, too. Under 65s! You see, you're the under 65s! You wouldn't want to be one of those over 65s.
This is scientific testing. We can't be too PC about it.
Just
and say, you're perfectly fine all the way up to 60 or 80. Everybody's exactly the same.
Just because the other buddies in your imagination suppressive world that you call science just because those guys agree with it, you know, you're cool with it. Okay. But one guy's got a picture. Well, he's got a piece of paper from God. The other guy's got a piece of paper from Yale. You're going for the guy with Yale. You know.
Unfortunately, we don't live to 600 like in the Noah days.
Not anymore.
So we have to be a little bit realistic.
And they're not Noah days, dummy. It was called Genesis. Yeah.
Well, God doesn't seem to be keeping us alive quite as long as he used to, and giving us, you know, hundreds of wives.
We should totally. That's hot. What's wrong with that? Of course, I you know, that'd be kind of a curse. Hey, imagine that. You live to 600 years old with hundreds of wives. Dude. I don't know.
Keeping all that straight. No.
It sounds that's like horrible. A good idea, you know?
At the time.
It's like a lot of Christian things. It sounds like a good idea. But once it starts getting screwed around, you know, I don't know, man. You know, not so good. Kind of getting ripped off here. Now, how about this one here?
Theory, bad in practice.
Yeah, you know, and now here's the other one. Now, I had a story. This is probably never going to get written, so I'll talk about it. And I may have talked about this before, where I thought about the idea of a monkey learning how to read, right? And the monkey figures out, as somebody gets the monkey a Bible, so he reads that and decides that since monkeys descended from man descended from monkeys, and man sinned against God, monkeys have not sinned against God, therefore monkeys are the rightful heirs of the planet. You know, and the story ends with him returning to the escaping from the zoo with this Bible, and he brings, you know, Jesus to the monkeys of the jungles, right? This is
it's a great concept, probably compared to Planet of the Apes, unfortunately.
Well, that's fine, but I'm talking not like I'm talking like a monkey, like a real monkey, you know, and you have all these baboons and gorillas, and you totally do it National Geographic style. It'd be really sweet.
It's awesome.
It's a fun idea, but now we've got brain chips that we're making, and this is a bit weird. Like, what if the computers read the Bible and start buying into that shit? A prototype brain on a chip is already working. This is a vapor. They got one. Okay, we made one. It works. We know the brain has amazing computational capabilities, remarks Karlheinz Ermeiser, physicist at Heidelberg University. Clearly, there is something to learn from biology. I believe the systems we are going to develop could form part of a new revolution in information technology. It's a strong claim. But MIR is coordinating with EU-supported FACETS project, which brings together scientists from 15 institutions in 7 countries to do just that. Inspired by research in neuroscience, they are building a neural computer that will work just like the brain, but on a much smaller scale. The human brain is often likened to a computer, but it differs from everyday computers in 3 important ways. It consumes very little power. It works well even if components fail, and it seems to work without any software, which is significant. How does it do that? Nobody knows yet, which you need to remember that. Okay, that right there, boom, right there in one. How does it do that? Nobody knows yet. Okay, well, that's important. You know, sometimes I wonder if maybe we're not just antennas, you know? Maybe that's all it is, and maybe like we're part of like a bigger energy that gets picked up by our nervous system that looks like, because if you look at an antenna, like a nervous system, it kind of looks a bit like an antenna. You know, I'm just saying, like roots, you know? So what if there's like something that's like, you know, with the chakras and everything? I'm just saying! It's not out of the realm of reason. You know, just
beaming our intelligence from a faraway planet, giving us instructions on how to live.
Well, I think that's hokey. I wouldn't go so far as faraway planet. You know, I'm just saying.
Okay.
You know,
the moon, an underground base in the moon.
Yeah. Oh, now you're just making fun. it could be another dimension. You know.
Okay.
Could be a higher plane. You know, could be one of those. Maybe about the 80,000 foot mark, like an AWAC. You know, something like that. You could. You know, there's stuff you could do. I'm just saying. You know. But they're messing around with the brains, and it's freaking me out. But that's not. Anyway, I sort of segued off my story here. Let me get back to my story here.
Okay.
No, how does it do that? Nobody knows yet, but the team with FACETS is completing an exhaustive study in brain cells, neurons, to find out exactly how they work, how they connect with each other, and how networks can learn to do new things. Now, of course, this is all, you know, very cyberpunk kit, or pardon me, very, I wanted to say Terminator, but I was looking at the word cyberpunk, and somehow Terminator turned into cyberpunk. I don't know how that happened. But, you know, I am a little concerned that, you know, there's the future people who seem to believe that at best we'll be pets for the new machines, at worst we'll be food, you know, which is, you know, a little bit scary if we make a new computer network that's, you know, smarter than we are and all that good stuff. I mean, that's a little bit frightening, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. They've just got to plug in the three laws of Asimov.
Oh, yeah, that worked out well, didn't it? Didn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, flawless.
You know, how do atheists get theories? You know.
Through extensive testing.
You test theories. But like, well, I suppose a hypothesis is a better one. Like, I sort of, you know, they just don't seem to have a lot of imagination. You know, I seem to think that, they seem so limited. You know, I wonder if there's a lot of atheists who
really?
Play D&D. Yeah, I don't know.
Scientists have figured out a lot of things that the Bible just kind of stagnated on.
Well, you keep falling back. Look, I haven't brought up the Bible once. You whip the Bible out more than I do, okay? I'm just talking generally, okay? Talking generally now.
We figured out that, you know, putting somebody on the top of an altar and ripping out their heart doesn't make the sun rise and set.
Right.
Scientists have moved beyond that.
Sure.
You know, we find out things.
Yeah, you evolve. We also discovered germs. Right? We understand are, and we understand more. So, I mean, there's a lot of process and evolution. But just because ripping the hearts out on the altars and drinking their blood doesn't make the sun go down, doesn't mean that there might not be some sort of effect by ripping people's hearts out on altars. That's all I'm saying. You know. I mean, maybe there's some perks to that.
Horrible, terrifying, painful effect, yeah.
Well, I mean, for the poor cat on the altar, yeah. But, you know, what if it imbues me with, you know, dark powers? You know. Like, you know.
I think you've already got dark powers if you're doing that.
Yeah, no shit. And really, if you were going to give somebody dark powers, would you really want to give them to the guy ripping people's hearts out? You know, that's an outside toy.
Yeah, he's got a hell of a lot already. Yeah, he doesn't need any more.
Seriously. Seriously. You know, we're dark power quota is kind of maxed out for the moment.
He's imbued himself with them.
All right. So into Cyberpunk Kit, I've got actually, this is really cool. They're selling this on ThinkGeek. I really enjoy this. Ooh. This is wire glue. Neat stuff. Check it out. Carbon is one of our favorite elements. It makes diamonds, all well-known life possible, and it makes pencils, and who doesn't love pencils? Also, it seems that carbon fullerenses, buckyballs, nanotubes, are going to do a lot in the future. Time to bring that little microcarbon goodness into your home and make it work for you now. Wire glue is conductive glue. It uses microcarbon technology to make glue that also conducts electricity. This is like glue solder. Okay, think of it that way. That's nice. Right. No need for solder anymore. Now you have wire glue. It acts like a glue. It acts like a wire. It tastes like... No, I'm just kidding. Don't eat it, and it's stupendously awesome, incredible. Put it simple. It sticks bits together, allows electricity to flow between them. The wire glue is great for pairing wires, gluing together electronic kits, and really is a great safe, i.e. no heat, way of introducing children to electrical engineering. Or wogs
That's
everywhere
awesome.
For repairing kit. Holy
That's
repair
so
kit
awesome.
Tool. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm it's field accessible because you don't need to heat.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, like that's, you could draw a circuit board by hand with that. Like there's stuff that people are like, you put it on a piece of paper, burn off the stuff. I mean, this is just like, that's, you know, wire glue
that
is conducting.
Nice.
Yeah, uses the latest advances in microcarbon technology. It's lead free. It's for both AC and DC low voltage circuits. Dries overnight to a super strong hold because it is glue. Each jar contains 0.3 ounces, which is not a lot, of wire glue.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It's
must be very expensive.
Well, it's kind of neat, but, you know, if we can find out what that is, that's pretty cool.
Well, you probably don't need a lot of it. If you're just kind of touching things and putting them together like that, you're probably not going to be drawing circuit boards. You're just going to be attaching things. So, you know, you don't really need a lot.
No. No, you don't. So, in keeping with the overriding theme of the show tonight, Sim, I wanted to include this daily hack here today. It's how to do a blessing or consecration rite for the extrication of a paranormal phenomenon. This guy is an actual priest, and he put it up there how to do, you know, a bit of an exorcism just to get rid of the evil spirits.
That's handy. Yeah.
You know.
It's very handy.
Well, I think it's a good idea. You know?
In case a person has cancer or some debilitating disease, you can get this. Out the Satan, out.
Well, if you're sure it's cancer, right. If you're sure it's cancer, then that's fine. But if, you know, her head's spinning around and she's puking vomit and screaming your mother sucks cocks in hell, you know, maybe it's not cancer.
You may be on the set of Exorcist.
Well, you know, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, hey, they started running exorcism courses at the Vatican, eh? They actually had a specialty exorcist-like course they ran. which I was like, sweet, you know, because I would love to go take that. That'd be rad. I'd be like, you know, Sean Kennedy, Exorcist. That'd be awesome, you know.
Certainly would be interesting. It'd probably turn out to be just a lot of dry reciting of phrases and stuff.
What, in a Catholic church? Are you kidding me? Dry resuscitation? Oh, my God. Well, you know. You know, I guess it is. But that's your daily hack today, and you better like it, because you need some Jeebus. You need Jeebus, Sim. You know, and not only Jesus loves you, I have it on good authority that Buddha loves you too. And as well, like some of the old Jews think you're pretty cool. But that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to this show, please distribute. But if you can, please subscribe to the show by clicking on the subscribe tab. This is on the donate section of the Dark Atlas website. Or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 12150, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And I want to thank the Armies of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. Be sure to sign up for the Rant Community Newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com, and then we will put you on our little list, which is not a spam list, and believe you me, we don't share it with anybody. It's all cool. We're not, you know, registering you with the authorities or, you know, trying to get your DNA or for a track position so you can be arrested first. We're also not plotting, you know, to get together so that you're, you know, going to be the first people extracted in case I get a Star Cruiser. We're not planning that. But, you know.
We fill their head with horrible thoughts.
No, I'm just saying, you know, we're not planning to do that.
No, it's true.
You know, we're not.
It's our list. Nobody else can have it.
I don't know where the cat is. It's not in the dryer. You know. If you like the music in the background, check out some Psy Trance. And what are we going to fade out with? That Doctor Who on Holiday, which is that. What's this? Exactly. What's the history behind this? This is that song that was banned because it was somebody put it out. It was an album that came out against Green Day or something like that. And then Green Day sued them or whatever. What the hell happened there? Do you remember that?
Oh, I barely can
it was
remember.
Forever
it,
ago.
Obviously, it's like a mashup kind of thing. It's mixing two songs together.
Well, it's actually a mashup because originally it was the Time Lords, which was the KLF.
Yeah.
And before the Time Lords were the Time Lords, or before the KLF was the KLF, they were the Time Lords. And they remixed the Doctor Who theme song with some Gary Glitter stuff, and everybody sued them because they never had permission to do it. So they dissolved, and they became the KLF. And then in the Green Day song, they took the song that was already illegal, and then they mashed it again with Green Day. So this is like an illegal song.
Who do we sue?
It's an illegal song made out of illegal songs. It's like a second generation illegal song. It's really cool. And to add to it, it's a pretty cool tune to boot. So it's pretty slick. You're into the KLF, aren't you, Sam? You like that?
Oh yeah, I liked it back in the day. That was super cool. I liked that music. It was awesome electronic.
It's got a real distinctive sound. So that's what we're going to fade out with. Until next time, everyone. You got anything else, Sim?
Yeah, don't leave your bloodstained rabbits on the bus, because it will get taken, kids.
Absolutely. And we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Either with those who love freedom, or you're with those who hate innocent life.
All inferior creatures are to be considered the enemy of the Daleks at this point.
Well, either you're with us, or you're the enemy.
We obey no one.